Now, some of you may have been following this, but George Takei has been in town, and he has been speaking about, his childhood and internship camp in California. And of course, when he has an opportunity to speak, probably most people will ask him about Star Trek. But I'm really glad to see him doing that. The first poem I'm going to read is about Manzanar, and it appeared this week in Vox Populi. Manzanar, for Gene Wachowski Houston, author of Farewell to Manzanar. The word, Spanish, for apple orchard, but by 1942, no orchards in the Owens Valley, water rights sold in the 20s to Los Angeles, the land left parched and dry. Gene remembers snow-capped Sierra Nevadas, high winds, tumbleweeds, dust storms, lousy food. My cousin Blanche, most accomplished and brainy of our Italian relatives, 1939 UC Berkeley grad. At weddings and funerals, I'd study her glossy hair pulled taut in a bun, her face a powder white mask. Her husband sported a bow tie and smarmy smile. Their first teaching jobs at Manzanar. Japanese subs off the coast, blackouts, sirens, panic when the air patrol mistook weather balloons for attack. For the war effort, families bought bonds, collected paper, even rubber bands. Did it feel patriotic and brave teaching at Manzanar? Young college grads, Quakers, retirees, some kindly and nurturing, some rule-bound and stern. I wonder about my cousin. What kind of teacher was she? If you had Japanese blood and lived out west 24 hours to sell everything, at release, every man, woman, and child given $25 and a bus or train ticket to wherever they could find to go. By then, Gene Wachowski's father had grown so bitter, he rarely spoke to a Caucasian again. 36 barracks made of tar paper without ceilings or toilets or wallboard, furnace in summer, icebox in winter, steel army cots, straw mattresses, communal latrines and showers. Families made furniture from orange crates, created self-help societies and gardens amid guardhouses, armed MPs, desert, and barbed wire. Gene Wachowski Houston was married 15 years before she told her husband about Manzanar. When is the best time to teach history? When kids are 10 or 15, when they go to college? I think about Cousin Blanche, long dead, and wonder, did she ever tell her students? Did she ever tell anyone about Manzanar? Judy and I did an event some years ago to raise money for relief efforts in South Sudan, in Darfur. It was a great event. It was at CMU. We were so thrilled that so many people came and donated money. And this poem came out of that. And this was, I guess, in the Post Gazette or somewhere. And it's not like that's all over. They're fighting again. There are about 860,000 people in refugee camps. Somewhere, you open a newspaper and wonder if the atoms in your fingers as they tap at the newsprint can be felt on the subatomic scale in Darfur, where haggard men in sweaty t-shirts grunt as they load sorghum, seed, soap, powdered milk. They do not worry about the subatomic scale, only if, after drought, the rains will come, and if those are dust clouds in the distance, and to whom should they pray? Somewhere a surgeon removes an obstinate shard of shrapnel. The gods permit this. Somewhere a mute old woman with begging bowl and tick welts the size of a dime sits in the shade of palms. Soldiers lounge in stupor at the edge of the mud-walled village. Women cook doura and beef and bean cakes. And then two more poems. So this is a more personal one. I grew up in Los Angeles. Suburban LA house tour in 1956. That's the sofa where my sister and I practiced standing on our heads. There the pages left open to Chopin on the dusty upright where my mother tried to teach us, but we were stubborn and tone deaf. That I regret. On the bookcases, 36 volumes of Funk and Wagnall for the children and a raft of self-help books which my mother read. 1956 was the year my father nearly packed his gray suits, socks and slide rule for London, and some British woman rooms half-lit, Venetian blinds closed to the neighbors and the beauty of azaleas. Only his father's protests convinced him to stay. There's the backyard where I found my mother crying and cursing at the clothesline, at the kitchen where she stood boiling chicken and potatoes. She was Italian and had no love for the tomato. Dad wasn't home for dinner much anyway, working months at some Mojave missile site or maybe Kwajalein. In the hallway, the canaries. In my cluttered bedroom, small desk and chair, dictionary, baby blue, wallpaper with little roses, my schoolwork and chicken scratch, I remember how, despite her travails, my mother defended me when my teachers complained of my failure to engage my thumb properly while holding a pencil, and all those times they chastised me for daydreaming and rolling my eyes. After my father left for the last time, my mother learned to cook Chinese. It wasn't half bad. Because every story has two sides, I'm going to now take a story like that from the male perspective, using a brilliant poem by the great Pittsburgh poet Joseph Karasek. And a lot of you know this poem. Procession. Every so many years, somebody's daddy gets into his car on a midsummer day and heads west into the late sun and beyond to early night. And because the winds have come, he keeps on driving, barely noticing the fallen boughs. And when the mountain road narrows, slams the brakes to a sudden stop, slumps down against the wheel, his wire-haired brows bearing down hard on his lids, in the blind, dull roar, watching the procession of fathers and of their fathers as they come to remember. Yet, of course, soon, he mutters, the beast rearing up, set loose among crowds, drugged, horns shaved, plunging into a long sleep. Only the wild trees and hollow sound of rain on the roof, a hand, a palm, fingers on the other side, spread against the moon. He can't be far from Denver, maybe. Thank you.